Thank you, Brother Orr. Well, in the preacher's absence, he has asked Brother Tyler Rebel to bring the message to us tonight. So, brother, come preach to us.
Thank you, Brother Perkins. If you grab your Bibles with me tonight and turn to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Thank you so much for that special, brother. We're in the middle of 10 weeks of Sunday school curriculum on fruit of the Spirit. And next month we start our theme for the fall, and it is also fruit of the Spirit. So very fitting of that. I was excited about that. Brother Perkins made a plug for job fair, so let me throw mine out there too, since we have an opportunity. If you are interested in job fair, interested in anything, they're inside the bulletins, and there's some back there. There's an insert that has the list of all of our ministries that will be represented at job fair, with the exception of one or two that I found out later. And then there is a map on where those tables will be. You see, it gets overwhelming in there just a little bit. I've heard. This is my first one as well. So we mapped it out for you so you know where each table is, and so that people who have tables know where your table is. Amen? So there will be no, this is my table, this is that table. They're numbered. And they're color-coded, so even people like Brother Richard can understand. Amen? All right. And you say I was picking on him about color-coded. Don't worry. I don't even see him. I picked on him, and he's not even here. Man, I feel really bad now. Don't worry. My notes are color-coded, so people like me can stay focused, too. So 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Hopefully you're there. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Let me read you a verse before we go to 2 Samuel. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Christian, can I tell you, it would be so much to say, hey, Captain Obvious, for me to look at you tonight and say, hey, there is someone that wants you as a Christian and wants us as a church to fail. We know that. We know that there's someone out there that he would do everything he could to get Landmark Baptist Church to close his door. Can I tell you, there's a guy out there, and it's the devil, that a few years ago when COVID hit, he won a lot of those fights. Can I tell you, there's churches left and right that they're struggling. They're not getting people back that haven't come back from COVID because the doors closed and they got out of church and they got in the habit. Can I tell you, he's won that fight, but can I tell you, the Bible says as we get closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, that it's going to get worse and worse. Can I tell you, the world is wicked. The devil has control of the world, and he's got sin in the world, and there's wicked people all around. Can I tell you, we moved back to Haines City about 2 months ago now, and can I tell you, it's wicked, okay? Every time I drive to the church, I get by Circle K, and I'm worried if someone's going to cut me off from the turn lane. Can I tell you? I don't know if that's sin, but it's sin, okay? Don't do it, okay? Don't do it to me either, because I'll be upset. And if you do it, don't let me see you, okay? Not that I can do anything about it. But praise the Lord. Does that aggravate anyone else? Is that just me? Okay, we'd say amen. Thank you, Brother Doug. I knew you'd be with me there, okay? They do it from both sides now. Can I tell you, that's wicked. And we laugh about that and we can have a good time. But can I tell you, Satan has some targets. Okay, the Bible says there in 1 Peter, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Can I tell you, the devil's not content with what he has. He's got the world, and people can get up behind the pulpit, and it's a right thing to preach about sin and preach against sin and call sin what it is, because it's sin. And the devil has a stronghold in our world and in our city and in cities around us and in our nation, even in America and in the world. But can I tell you, there's some things that the devil has, but there's some things that he doesn't have a stronghold on, but he wants them. Can I tell you, the devil would do anything to steal our young people away. Can I tell you, there was a good group of young people I heard that went out and they went visiting today, and they knocked doors, and there was college students and there was teenagers, and they went out and they told people about Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't want them to do that? You know that. Can I tell you, he'll do anything he can to get our young people. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't want us to have a Bible. You say, Brother Tyler, the devil can't take his Bible. You're right. But there's so many other translations, okay? It's not really a translation, it's garbage. Okay, it's junk, and there ain't no good to it. Can I tell you, he don't want us to have a good Bible. There are some things the devil's after. He wants our Bible. He wants our right to worship. Can I tell you, as a Christian, the devil would do anything he could to steal your peace. But Christian, that's not what I want to focus on tonight. Can I tell you, I just said something about COVID and churches closing, but can I tell you the reason why that happened? There's many good churches. Okay, there is good churches in the past years or 20 years or the last 10 to 20 years that we looked at that the devil has attacked, and they closed their doors. Why did that happen? Why have we watched, if we were to chart out churches just like ours, why have we watched churches close their doors? Because the devil got a hold of what he wanted. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, and I'm going to get to 2 Samuel, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Can I tell you, if it was up to the devil, if he was to get into Landmark Baptist Church, it wouldn't be because of the sin that's out there. It wouldn't be because there's people outside of our doors protesting and saying, "I'm not happy with what Landmark's doing. I'm not happy with what they're doing." You know how the devil would get in Landmark Baptist Church? Through the hearts of the people. Through the hearts of the people that are here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Can I tell you, the devil has a lot of targets. But most of those targets, the way he goes about, is he goes about the heart. Let's read in 2 Samuel, verse number 15. I think you'll figure out what verse we're going to. It says in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass after this, that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses, and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for a judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee.' And Absalom said, 'Moreover, of that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him just.' And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this matter did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve you. Lord, I'm thankful for the call to preach and the opportunity to get to preach tonight. Lord, and I'm excited about it, Lord, but I pray you'll just hide me behind your cross. Lord, no one came to hear Tyler, Lord, and I understand that. Lord, I pray that you just hide me behind your cross, Lord, and that you would just speak through me. Lord, I pray you just guide my lips, Lord, that they won't say anything they shouldn't say. Lord, I pray if under the sound of my voice, Lord, there's a lost soul that's not saved, Lord, I pray they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, I pray that everything gets said and done. We'll bring honor and glory to you and you only, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I ask this on your name. Amen. Can I tell you, the devil would love to get in our church, and the only thing he needs to do it is your heart. We see Absalom right here. And what the last part of that verse, I've read this and I've preached a message on this passage of scripture, and we're going to run the scripture a little bit tonight. But it says in verse number 6, it says, "So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." What was Absalom's plan? Absalom's plan was to take over the kingdom and to replace his father. Was to get in there and get in control and change how things were going to be done and change what was going on. You see, Absalom at first... And Absalom has a lot of history we'll jump into in just a little bit, just a little jump into it. Absalom has a lot of history, but Absalom didn't at first just get an army and storm the palace and try to take down the kingdom. He knew it wasn't going to work like that. But Absalom stood in the gate and saw people coming to get counsel and saw people that were vulnerable and saw people that were coming to the king to distribute a matter and to get that settled. And he said, "Hey, come here. Let me deal with it." You know what he went after? He went after the hearts. Can I tell you, Satan wants your heart. Satan wants to harden your heart. Can you imagine being these men? If you read farther in this passage, Absalom then comes back with an army. Okay, they go to King David, and one of his advisors tells him, "Hey, King, these men, they're not following you anymore. They're following Absalom because they said what he wanted to hear." Because Absalom had chariots that ran before him, and he had these many things that ran before him, and he was big and flashy, and he looked good. And he pulled them away. Can I tell you, the devil uses the same tactics today. He'll tell you, "Hey, you've got something going on. Let me tell you how you should deal with that matter. You got something going on, a fault between two brothers in the church, or two different things going on. Let me tell you how you deal with that." And you do that and it appeases your flesh. And he begins to sear your heart away. Can I tell you what I believe these men did that followed after Absalom? They hardened their hearts. They looked at their king and they said, The king's not doing just with me. The king's not doing fair. The king's not doing what I want. And their hearts begin to get hard. Can I tell you, Christian, the reason why we could name churches, and I watched a video someone sent me this summer of churches that were mega churches or giant churches that were close to our stripe or Southern Baptist churches, and I know that they're different. But you know how the devil closed those churches? He got a hold of the hearts, and the hearts begin to get hard. Can I just remind you tonight, we're in a fight. The devil wants this church. And not just this church as a whole, but the devil wants you as an individual. Young person, can I just tell you this applies to you too? Can I graduate? My graduating class was huge from our, well, not huge from our Christian school, but from our youth group. There was about 12 of us, which might not seem much to you, but for a smaller church, that was pretty good. And some of those guys are still in the ministry. But can I tell you, there's a great falling away that I would say the majority of them, they're out of church. They're not in church anymore. Because the devil, as a young person, stole the heart away. Can I tell you, in Proverbs 4:23, we said that it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You ought to guard your heart. Turn over with me to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. I just mentioned a hardened heart, but I think that it would do us justice to take some time and just kind of figure out what a hardened heart is. Mark chapter number 6, and look down in verse number 50 with me. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 50. If you know this passage of scripture, this is the disciples and Jesus. They're in a boat. They just saw him walking on the water. Right before that, he fed the 5,000. So they just had a miracle go on. It'll reference that in just a second. But in verse number 50 of Mark chapter number 6, it says, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. So what is a hardened heart? Well, we see these guys right here. It says their hearts were hardened. They're at the end of this story, and they've rowed over to the other side, and they've been busy, and their hearts got hard, and Jesus came walking out upon the water, and they didn't see it. You know what a hardened heart is? It's a heart that's resilient to the voice of God or to his will. Same chapter. Look over in verse number 34 of Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and he was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. What do we see in the story? We see the disciples that we found out later on in the passage, they had hardened hearts, so their hearts were already beginning to get hard. I would say we can take that from this story. So we see them. Jesus says, hey, y'all come here. There's a group out there that needs me. There's a group out there, and Jesus was moved with compassion on them. And he said, disciples, come here. This is what we're going to do. And what did they say? They said, Lord, send them away. Lord, I don't think you know that this is a desert place. Lord, I don't think you've noticed where we're at. Lord, we're not in a place that this seems like a good opportunity to preach. Lord, I really don't want to do this right now. How many times as Christians do we look at disciples and we say, you know, that's a bad attitude. But how many times as Christians do we get that attitude? The disciples looked around and they said, look at the day and age we're in. Look at the place we're in. God can't move. How many times as Christians do we look around and say, Lord, look at how wicked the world is. And you want me to have compassion, and you want me to go out, and you want me to get kids on a bus ride and bring them in. Lord, don't you know the day and age we live in? Why would I do that? Lord, you want me to go out and you want me to knock doors? You want me to, at the gas station, stop and tell someone else about Jesus Christ? Do you not realize how wicked it is? And we look around and we say, we can't do it because of everything around us. Can I tell you, that's a hardened heart. The disciples, when they had watched Jesus move, when they had seen him do miracles time and time again, when he walked on the water, they weren't ready for that blessing because their hearts were hard. How many times as Christians do we get a hardened heart and we're resistant to what God tells us to do? Can I tell you, Christian, I'm not perfect and I am far from it. And because no one else say that, amen, I'll say amen. All right? Okay. Not everyone had to say amen there, okay? There's been times when at a gas station that the Holy Spirit convicted me to give someone a track. And I didn't do it. And I said, you know, I got too much going on. It's hot outside. This is not a good place to do that. And I put it back in my pocket. That's a hardened heart. Christian, we ought to be guarded about that. Can I give you another way your heart can get harder, another sign? A hardened heart is resilient to reconciliation. We're in 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Turn back there. Leave your place and mark because we'll be there. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 15, I want to show you two verses here as we begin to look and just look at Absalom just a little bit. 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 7. You see, Absalom, this is the verses right after it says, so Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. He began to build a following. It says in verse number 7, and it came to pass after 40 years. Okay, I'm not even 40 years old. Okay, if you're 40, you are not old. Okay, but to me, 40 years is a long time because I've not lived 40 years. All right, for 40 years. After Absalom did this, Absalom is planning. Christian, can I tell you, when you let some hardness get in your heart, when you let some bitterness get in your heart, you might not think it's a big deal right away, but it'll sit and it'll develop into a bigger problem. It says, and it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. And we won't read all this verse. Look in verse number 13 with me. It says, and there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. So Absalom stole the hearts away from the king. Why did he do that? Well, you know where we hear Absalom's name before this? In verse number, or chapter number 13, who is Absalom? He's the brother to Tamar. Someone who was hurt. Someone because of sin was hurt, and that is not just, and that will never be just. But you see, Absalom got revenge there, but Absalom let that bitterness come in. Absalom let that hurt come in. Absalom let that situation drive him so far from his father that it got to the place that Absalom was the very person stealing away the hearts of the people of Israel. Can I tell you, young person or Christian or adult, no matter your age, the devil wants you to get upset about a situation. And the devil doesn't want you to get that situation right. So 10 years, 40 years, 2 years down the road, you're like Absalom. And you're so far from your father that you're just causing a mess. Can I tell you, when your heart gets hard, you're not willing to reconcile a situation. I'm going to hasten because I have too many notes up here tonight. A hardened heart isn't rejoicing in God's blessing. Can I tell you, Christian, a sign that your heart gets hard, a sign that something has happened and your heart is getting hard, someone walks the aisle and someone gets saved and he comes forward and they're up front there and pastor says, everyone raise your hand if we're going to accept him into the church membership. He's going to get baptized. You raise your hand because you know if you don't, someone will say something. But you're thinking, man, I'm not going to be first at the Golden Corral. Man, we're going to be in church late. I know someone just got saved, but can't they just tell us that and hurry up? You know, I know someone just started coming back to church that has been out of church for a long time, but that doesn't bother me. That's no big deal. Man, I know that young man that has grown up in our ministry is now called to preach, but you know, that's not a big deal. Can I tell you, as Christians, the Bible says that our joy may be filled. Can I tell you, things of the Lord ought to make you happy. Amen. Okay, Christian, can I tell you, we live in a day and age that we can look around and we can look at this election. We can get upset and we can say there's no hope. We need President Trump. No, can I tell you, I'm not saying we don't need President Trump, but we need Jesus Christ. Hey, can I tell you, we can look around and we can say everything going on and there's propaganda over here and there's badness over here and look at the border and we can get upset and not be excited about anything. But can I tell you, as Christians, God has promised us and God desires for us. When someone gets saved, when God moves, when someone grows, or when someone's reconciled back to church, as a church and as Christians, that ought to excite you. Can I tell you, if it doesn't, it's a problem. If someone gets saved and you say that's not a big deal, and you might not say it out loud, you better check your heart. Can I tell you, a hardened heart, just like the disciples there, they blame stuff on everyone else. The disciples said there in verse number, I believe it was verse number 35, it says, a desert place, the time is far past. They said, we can't serve God because of this and because of that, and I can't do this because of this and because of that. Can I tell you, that's a sign of a hardened heart. Can I tell you, a hardened heart is insensitive to sin. You think of some Bible character, I think of Peter. They took Jesus Christ away from Peter. Peter was the disciple that pulled out a sword and he was willing to fight. He cut someone's ear off. He was willing to kill a man for his Savior. And hours later, what was he doing? Rejecting him. Because his heart got hard. Sin wasn't a big deal because things had happened. He rejected him once. He did it twice. And he did it a third time. Can I tell you, Christian, what does that look like in our life? When our hearts get hard, this Bible is not important in the morning. We go days without picking up this word, without picking up his word and reading it. Can I tell you, Christian, you need to be careful about that. Can I tell you, as a Christian, you ought to want to read God's word. Okay? It says you need it. The Bible says not by bread alone. Can I tell you, you ought to take time to pray. How many times as Christians do we say, there's a situation going on, I'm going to take care of it myself. Instead of going to God and saying, God, there's a situation. Lord, I'll let you use me, but Lord, how do you want me to deal with the situation? Can I tell you, when your heart gets hard, you won't talk to him about it. Can I tell you, a hardened heart is a loss of your godly burden. What did Jesus have here when he saw this multitude in Mark chapter number 6? He had compassion. Yeah. It was lacking in disciples. They didn't have that compassion. Because their hearts had begun to get hard. A hardened heart. You say, Brother Tyler, you threw 6 examples of what a hardened heart is really fast. You're right. Can I tell you, we could have went on for the whole service talking about what a hardened heart is. But a hardened heart is what you think it is. It's a heart that is hardened. Can I tell you that I heard this quote and I've used it. I use it with our young people a lot when we're up in Georgia. The heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. Can I tell you, when there's issues in our church and there's issues in churches just like ours, most of the time, and I would say, and if we were to ask pastor, the vast majority of times that there is a problem, it's because someone had a heart problem first. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, there's been times that I've sat in church and I've had a heart problem. There's been times that I've got up and got behind a pulpit and I had a heart problem. Preachers do it too. Christian, can I ask you tonight, is your heart hard? Have you become insensitive to sin? Has something happened in your life that may have made your heart hard? Hey, Christian, can I tell you the first step in getting that right is realizing it. The first step in getting your heart softened is to realize that it's hard. But Christian, I think we'd be amiss. We can talk about what's a hardened heart, but there's many times in our life that we talk about something and we deal with sin and we say, Lord, I need to get this right. And we don't take time to say, how did my heart get hardened? I just want to give you, I have about 4 reasons here, and I promise I won't be long tonight, but 4 reasons on how your heart could get hardened. Can we look in Mark chapter number 6? You're right there. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 31. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 31. It says, and he said unto them, this is before the feeding of the 5,000, before them rowing over to the other side. It says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest. Rest is a good thing. Amen. Amen. It says, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Can I tell you, sometimes, just like the disciples, your heart will get hard because you're weary in well-doing. You look at the disciples in this story, it's a next page for me, but in verse number 39 it says, "And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies in the green grass." In verse number 43 it says, "And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes." In verse number 45, it says, "Straightway he constrained his disciples to get onto the ship and to go to the other side." In verse number 48, it says, "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. What do you see here? Jesus goes to his disciples and he said, "Listen, this is going to be a time that I've appointed unto you. Come to this desert place and let's get rest." Well, what happens? That's what they thought they were going to do, and that was their plan. And they thought they were going to have some time of rest. They thought they were going to have an easy day. They thought that they could even put their feet up maybe, and they'd be able to sit down and eat. But as we progress through that chapter, I gave you four examples. There's four examples when Jesus is saying, "Hey, go do this. Hey, I need you to do this. Hey, I need you to do this." But it was for a good reason, because there was an opportunity. Can I tell you, Christians, sometimes our hearts get hard because we get weary in well-doing. The disciples were busy. They were serving and they were supposed to rest. And they said, "Lord, we were supposed to rest." I looked it up and I might be right. And some of you were smarter than me, so I might be wrong. But it says the fourth hour of the night. From what I read, that's between 3 and 6 a.m. So between 3 and 6 a.m., these men that were tired, what are they doing? Row. They're rowing to the other side. And they're exhausted. And they're tired because they've been serving. Because they've been busy. And then God gave them something that should have been an encouragement to them. And they didn't see it because their hearts got hard. Hey, Christian, Landmark is a rowing church. We stay busy around here. But if we're not careful in all of the rowing, our hearts will begin to get hard. Christian, can I tell you to be weary of that? Be careful of that. Can I tell you, I believe sometimes our hearts can get hard because of unanswered questions. I talked about Peter just a minute ago. He was willing to kill for Jesus Christ. And then he rejected Jesus Christ. And what was that change from? Well, Peter was sitting there, "Lord, I was going to protect you. Lord, I was willing to do everything you asked me to do. Lord, I was willing to fight all of those men. And then you just gave yourself up willingly. The guy that I defended, you picked his ear up and you put it back on his head." Can I tell you, there's sometimes that God does stuff we don't understand. As a young person, someone used the quote that God's will is made to be followed, not understood. Can I tell you, there's been many times in my life that God has done something. And I've looked around and I said, "God, this doesn't make any sense. Lord, why would you do this?" And I look back and I say, "God, you know, that was a trial, but I'm thankful for it." Can I tell you, I think of Sarah and Abraham. They prayed for so long for God to bless them with a child and God didn't do it. So much that when God came and God told Abraham that I'm going to give it to you in spite of your old age, what did Sarah do? Sarah laughed because she didn't understand what was going on. She hadn't understand why God hadn't answered in her time and her heart had got hard. Can I tell you another reason how your heart could get hard? It could get hard due to sin, due to disobedience to God. We're talking about Absalom here, and we talked about Tamar and different things going on. But can I tell you, if we were to look back in the story and look back when sin got into David's family and what happened to cause this bitterness, and David was reaping what he had sowed in some of it in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and we won't turn there. What did David do? David is king, and David was supposed to go into battle, and David was supposed to fight, and David was supposed to lead the nation into battle. And there came one day after David had served so faithfully and David was doing what he's supposed to do. What did David do? He stayed home. And it says he did not go to the battle. And what day was that? That was the day that David climbed up on his rooftop. And he looked down and he saw Bathsheba. And he sinned. And it led to some things. Hey, Christian, can I tell you? Disobedience to God will get your heart hard. Can I tell you, we can pull something out of that story, and this could be a message in of itself. The one day that David decided it wasn't a big deal to go to battle is when David's life turned out to be a mess. Hey, Christian, that can relate to church attendance. That day that we decide, it's okay, I'll just stay home. You better be careful. I think of King Saul. King Saul was the first king over Israel before King David. And what did Saul do? Saul was doing what he was supposed to do, and God was blessing him, and Saul was trying to be obedient. And he went to the city, he went to Gilgal in the battle, and God had told him to destroy everything, not to spare anything. And he didn't understand. And he decided to disobey God. And he spared the king and the sheep. And the prophet heard it, and he came and he told him, you disobeyed God. And what did God do? He pulled his hand off of him. Can I tell you? Disobedience will hurt your heart. But can I tell you, there is one I don't think we talk about very much in our churches. Sometimes our hearts get hard because we get hurt. We look at the life of Job, and what did Job go through? Trials upon trials upon trials upon trials. We look at the life of David, and David was some of his own sin because of his own making. But at the end of this, at the end of the story we just referenced, David lost his child. And David, a man after God's own heart, was broken. What about Thomas? After Thomas had lost his Savior to crucifixion, Thomas was hurt. And they began to tell him, hey, Jesus is alive. Hey, come see him, Thomas. Jesus is alive. We saw him. And he said, you know, unless my hand touches his side, I won't believe. Because he got hurt. Can I tell you, Christian, we don't talk about this, but hurt people hurt people. And the church is not for perfect people. There is people in churches that are hurting. There is people in this very room that I have no clue what you're dealing with right now. I have no clue the trial you're going through. I have no clue the stress you're under. I have no clue the circumstances and the decision you have to make right now. But can I just say, hey, be careful. Because it's easy when you get hurt. Instead of blaming this old sin nature, instead of blaming our bodies because of sin, because we have sin, we blame God. But can I tell you, you're not without hope there. I grew up on the Eastern Shore, and we have a lot of farm. And sometimes the ground gets hard, and you can't plant in it. And when that ground gets hard, it's no good anymore. But you know what a farmer does? He doesn't look at that field and say, well, I guess I'm done using that field. Well, I guess I'm not going to go back in that field anymore. I guess that field is no good. He gets out the plow. And he begins to plow the field. And he begins to turn it. And he begins to do. Psalm chapter 51 and verse number 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Christian, can I tell you, if your heart is hard today, God wants to renew it. If something has happened in your life and you say, Brother Tyler, I feel distance to God. I feel like there's something going on in my life and I'm not as close as what I was anymore. God wants to do it. But you know what you have to do? You've got to repent. You've got to reconcile if that's there, and you've got to surrender your heart back to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, when we begin to plow up that ground, when we begin to work on that hardened heart, we need to take some time to look and say, God, I need to remember how good you've been to me. There's been times in my life that I've been so far away from God that I looked around and I said, Lord, am I wasting my time even going to church? Lord, am I wasting my time even showing up and being in the ministry anymore? But you know what I had to do? I had to look back and I had the purpose and say, God, you know what? I'm following because of you. Christian, can I ask you a question tonight? How's your heart? I said in the beginning of this message in Proverbs, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Satan would love nothing more than in Landmark Baptist Church for you to get a hold of your heart and to harden your heart. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, my heart is hard. Lord, will you help me plow up that ground? Maybe that's not you tonight. And you need to say, God, help me keep it right. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll stand to our feet. The instrument's going to play. Maybe you're in here tonight, and on a Wednesday night service, you just stopped in. And you say, Brother Tyler, you were preaching about a hardened heart. But my heart has never got right with Jesus Christ. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Can I tell you, he loves you so much that he broke his heart for you. That he died on the cross and he looked out and he said, you know, I know these people that aren't saved and these Christians, they're going to sin against me. But I love them so much that I'm going to send my only begotten son to die on the cross. Maybe that's you today. And you say, Brother Tyler, my life is just a mess. It's full of problems. Well, maybe the problem is your heart and that you've never gave it to Jesus Christ. I'll be down front. I'd love for you to walk the aisle and I'd love to take my Bible, or one of these men would, and show you how you can know for sure heaven's your home. Brother Burt.
I have decided.